to use the word conviction. As a result of conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants. And the Oregon Constitution, I think, still says that you can't have forfeiture of estate as a result of conviction. And I don't know if that word snuck in here somehow, or if you're just taking the language directly out of the Portland ordinance.
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, we are taking language right out of the Portland ordinance. If you are driving while suspended, which resulted as after a conviction for DUI, then the car is subject, the vehicle is subject for forfeiture. You have several bills before this assembly that deal in the same way.
Actually, if it clarifies, I don't know if it clarifies or it just makes things worse, Representative Clark, but this is for not because of a conviction of would shortly be a conviction of driving while suspended. The point is, if you are suspended because of a prior DUII, if as a result of your conviction for DUII, your driving privileges are suspended, you subsequently drive and are pulled over and identified as someone who is driving a vehicle whose driving privileges have been suspended as a result of conviction for DUII, then, under this amendment, your vehicle would become liable to forfeiture.
Okay, so
not as a result of your conviction, but as a result of your driving.
So the operative language there is ORS 811.175, right, and not the conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants. Okay, pardon my density.
No, it's both. The word conviction is there, Representative Clark. You're right about that. Representative Mannix.
You don't have any other amendments that you're offering at this time?
No, we do not.
Have you taken a look at the governor's amendments by chance in regard to the forfeiture proceedings and the use of the forfeiture money? If you haven't, that's all right. I just was curious.
We haven't recently, and I know that the governor's representative just testified a few minutes ago, and I'm not quite sure how that changes things.
It doesn't change what you're talking about, I think. But you might take a look and let us know if it does. Thank you.
Madam Chair, it is our desire that there be one set of rules that we can operate statewide, because we have statewide institutions for forfeiture of any kind.
Representative Clory would like to testify to the committee.
I've got a question real quick.
Before you step down, Frank, maybe.
This is very narrowly drafted. Yeah. Would you guys be opposed to widening it a little bit to include being suspended for a conviction for attempting to elude a police officer or a motor vehicle related homicide or habitual traffic offender status?
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, if it is the policy of this legislature that such activities would result in forfeiture, yes, sir.
Do you agree with every policy this legislature?
Exploration.
Well, the prior amendment that has been discussed that you're going to hear from the counties, I believe, in a moment, that amendment talks about preemption of local ordinances where there is an ordinance adopted that results in forfeiture, then that local ordinance would be followed with this same procedure contained in 2282 if you adopt that amendment. Why, then, do we specifically want to address DWS? It is because of the Portland ordinance and other local ordinances that already exist. And Representative Menace, a local ordinance that would be adopted to accomplish what you just talked about, whether it is mentioned specifically in here or not, supposedly would follow 2282.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm Ted Calori, State Representative from Washington County. Madam Chairman, as you well know, there is another forfeiture bill. Well, I assume there's quite a number of forfeiture bills, but there is one forfeiture bill that I'm...
Actually, the chair of Judiciary and I have discussed that bill, and it's going to be in this subcommittee.
Ah, okay. Well, that's...
Let me represent Clark just for the first. The only reason why I went to this criminal law subcommittee was we were very, very concerned about the time constraints.
Okay.
We want to kind of share the burden.
Okay.
Given the fact you want to wrap it all up.
Yeah. Well...
My only advice is, and it's just this whole thing is,
Well, I agree. That what you just told me does change things a little bit, because I was going to say that I'm sorry that they aren't both in the same place. And okay, so but then I guess I still have to say the other part of what I wanted to say, and that is, given the fact that they are both in this subcommittee, and that you are able to hold them up both at the same time, I would like to still request that they not be folded together. And the reason, and which is just contrary to the people who just were here before me. And I'm a little bit sorry about that, too, because of what I'm about to explain, which is that the originator of that bill, who is most of you know is Judge Keyes in Portland, feels that the two are substantially different kinds of circumstances. 2282, in general, deals with perhaps a different set of people, even. That the 2282 has to do more with drug raids. In the case of where cars do become a part of the consideration, that with 2282 and who it's really addressed to, that oftentimes you are dealing with much more expensive cars, ones where there probably is no lien. Perhaps you might even make some extrapolations in your mind as to how these cars are paid for. Totally different kind of a situation than what I'm told is what you find with driving while suspended or driving with revoked.
Quick question. What is the other bill number, Representative Calori?
3371.
Thank you.
Right. Because of that, then you end up finding that you do have a totally different set of circumstances, which absolutely brings in the previous witnesses into the situation, because you will find lower valued cars and cars that frequently do have liens on them. And very honestly, there is oftentimes a question about how much value there is. And because of that, we will find that we will get in circumstances where there is some loss that is going to be taken by somebody along the way. And given that circumstance, then you have to be pretty careful about that. And we have to decide as legislators, as an assembly, whether or not we're going to ask the state to take that whole hit, whether we're going to ask the financing institutions to take the hit, and so forth and so on. And the very thing that the previous witnesses said would be their preference, which is to have a uniform set of procedures, probably won't work. Now, what I'd like to tell you is that... there have been a number of meetings that have taken place over the last few weeks with the originator of the bill, Judge Keyes, and myself, and legislative judiciary staff, and attorneys representing, in fact, one of the ones who was just here just previous, representing the bankers, and another attorney from the savings and loans, and various attorneys representing various financing institutions, who have been working very hard on trying to work through the various circumstances that we could find. No default on the loan versus default on the loan. Values that are above the amount owed, values that are below, and there's all kinds of scenarios. And so there's some fairly careful work taking place that will address all of those issues. The circumstances that Representative Kelly just asked about as to whether or not we are talking about Representative Clark. I'm so used to calling.
I answered it many names.
Clark Kelly or Kelly Clark, right? Either way. The question that he asked about whether it was for conviction or whether it was for being stopped, as the chairman eventually straightened out, same kind of circumstances. So we're talking the same thing. Anyway, all I wanted to do at this point is just simply say there is another bill. It appears to me as though there is a reason to have two separate bills because there's two separate circumstances, and I think that we are well along the way to completing a separate set of procedures that applies in the kind of circumstances that you would find with that kind of an approach. I will also say that Commissioner Blumenauer is well aware of that bill, is ready to come down and testify when the time comes to hear that one, and so that to the extent that it meshes with Portland and so forth, we can address that at the same time. So that's basically, I just would like to ask that you reject the notion of folding these both together, or at least folding DWS and DWR and revoked into 2282, and at least for yourselves, take a look at the other bill, hear all the story, and see if it doesn't, in fact, warrant a separate treatment. That's all I wanted to get across. Thank you. DEQ. Well, I
want you to answer that question. Okay.
There may be spilled gasoline to clean up. Yes, thank you. On the so you're basically recommending that we not go with the Oregon Bankers Association amendment that they're recommending here.
That's right. And I would say probably separate. At least at this time. And again, just to repeat, the reason is because it appears as though there is a reason to treat those circumstances differently, and because they have been, in fact, active players in trying to work out some fairly intricate kinds of procedures that I think you will find when it's all completed, you can bring up almost any scenario and find that there's a way to handle it. And so, you know, we may not end up with just the convenience of one bill, and we may not even end up with the convenience of one simple procedure set, but we may in fact end up with a set that make a lot more sense and that are workable.
Madam Chair?
Madam Mannix.
So when you're talking about folding together, really we're not going to, you're saying keep the concept separate, keep the operations separate, but obviously we're going to need to be real careful about making sure they dovetail.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe there could be some parallelism in some of the procedures to simplify things. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Association of Oregon Counties.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. I'd like to make a reference to a couple things that have already occurred today to clarify what I understand to be going on. First of all, Mr. Shepard from the Attorney General's office presented to you a hand-engrossed version of the bill. As consensus amendments, AOC, LOC, Multnomah County, City of Salem, and Department of Justice. It's my understanding that this hand-engrossed version includes all the amendments that were proposed by any of the organizations listed there. It also includes some additional amendments for which you don't already have copies of proposed amendments. What those amendments do that haven't already been covered by legislative history, and I'd like to make some legislative history about right now.
Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead, Representative Mannix.
Are these consensus amendments, though?
Madam Chair, Representative Mannix, they are.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
They are. But one thing that hasn't been covered in previous testimony is that throughout the hand-engrossed version, there are changes that we think are appropriate between forfeiting agency and seizing agency. The distinction being that a seizing agency is a law enforcement agency. Law enforcement agency is defined as either one that employs police officers or prosecutes criminal cases. The forfeiting agency is the umbrella agency. So in the case of a sheriff's office that seizes property, the forfeiting agency is the county. In the case of a police officer employed by a city police department, it's the city. In the case of the state police, it's the state. And I think it's important to make that for the record. To my knowledge, everything else has already been covered by legislative history. With respect to Ms. Streisinger's proposal concerning reconciliation of House Bill 2282 with federal forfeiture law. I have a friend who has a Jewish grandmother who likes to talk about how much chicken to put into chicken soup. And she says in terms of adding additional chicken, it can't hurt. So insofar as the proposed amendment to reconcile 22...
Not Mr.
Snyder. It's H-O-I-T, I think. A little more chicken to House Bill 2282 just, you know, wouldn't hurt anything. Insofar as the LC-5 amendments are concerned that have been offered by Representatives Gilmore and Hanlon, I'd like to just make a couple observations. Representative Gilmore characterized this as a movement toward a user-payer system. But one concern that I have about that approach is that the proposed amendments have no relationship to the nature of the property that's forfeited. If it's a methamphetamine lab, it makes more sense that the property that's forfeited should be used to pay first the cost of cleaning up the methamphetamine lab. But if it's a cocaine bust, or it's a marijuana bust, if it's a prostitution bust, it seems rather extreme to say that everything that results in a civil forfeiture, that the cost should come off the top, by the way, for the 25% to be paid for the Department of Environmental Quality to clean up methamphetamine labs, even though the property that's forfeited is in a methamphetamine lab. The second observation I'd like to make is just that as the amendments are drafted, at least as I read them, and I just saw them for the first time about an hour and a half ago, they amend Section 9 of the bill. Section 9 of the bill describes what will be paid first before the cost of the forfeiture are paid or before any clear proceeds are realized. And that seems to be a bit extreme, to place the Department of Environmental Quality in the same position, or at least right behind a bank that holds a mortgage or someone else that holds a secured property interest. In any case, I understand the purpose of the amendments, but I think it would be more appropriate, given that that is the purpose, to create a payer-user fee, to tie the funding of Department of Environmental Quality to the nature of the forfeiture as being a methamphetamine lab. That seems to make a lot more sense to me.
Well, actually, Mr. Snyder, that subject came up. Representative Mannix asked the question, or maybe it was Representative Baum, which had to do with these strange operating factors that we build in through the economy of the policies that we establish here. And you're not immune, and the governments that you represent aren't immune, and we certainly aren't immune from responding to those economies that we create. And one of the economies that we will create here will be a disincentive to forfeiture of methamphetamine labs because of the cost. Already, we have created a kind of disincentive to completion of toxic cleanup by not having arrived at a suitable accommodation of the cost of that cleanup. And that's what this amendment is trying to reach. And what it is that is hard going down here is that the cost, the identified payer for the cost has now been the Section 9 of this forfeiture bill. I mean, nobody has anything coming in yet, and we're distributing the proceeds. We're hanging up on that a little bit. I don't want to gloss over it, but I don't want you to make it appear that it's only operative on one side of the ballpark. This operates really on everybody's agenda, and we really are just fixing a cost.
I understand that.
I guess I'm not sure if I'm going to ask a question or testify, and I don't know if the state police can help, but my experience, and I've had some experience busting methamphetamine laboratories, and it's been my experience, and hopefully maybe somebody can contradict me if there is a contradiction out there, but my experience has been with methamphetamine laboratories, they're generally fairly small operations in terms of the number of people that they're distributing, the kinds of or quantities of substance that they're creating. So unlike a distribution organization dealing with cocaine or even crack and some of those kind of substances, they're large criminal networks, but a lot of the methamphetamine laboratories, at least in my experience in Portland, has been that they're small groups who manufacture enough methamphetamine to feed their habit plus maybe a few friends' habit, but the byproduct of all that is $50,000-$100,000 cleanup costs. And I guess I'm saying that to say that I think that you're right in that even the kind of damages that are done by methamphetamine laboratories are not even proportionate to the kinds of organizations that we're dealing with when you compare that versus a heroin distribution ring or cocaine distribution ring. I don't know if you have any response to that. Cities may have some in terms of the kind of busts that have been done in their jurisdictions, but that's been my experience.
Madam Chair, Representative Menace, I was simply just trying to tie my testimony to that, which was given by Representative Gilmore. If you characterize it as a user payer fee, and the presumption, therefore, is that the property owner or the person who has the interest that's being forfeited should pick up the cost of the activity that was done there, that it make more sense logically to me. And if it comes off the top of all forfeitures, regardless of whether or not they're forfeitures of methamphetamine license.
Questions for Mr. Snyder? Mr. Snyder, just if you don't mind, just one time on this amendment, on your amendments that are in the engrossed bill and not on your proposed amendments dated February 18th, 1989, could you just run through those on page and line number so that we can identify those?
Madam Chair, I'd ask that Mr. Shepard dive in any time I say something wrong. But my understanding on page one is that that these proposed amendments are in line with the Oregon Bankers Association request that if ordinances are adopted...
No, Mr. Snyder.
Okay.
Just
the new stuff.
We can't afford the time to go back through the rationale. If you could just... Nudge
what
me on the line and the page where the amendment occurs so that...
Okay, on page one, that's Bankers Association amendments, I believe. Page two, there are no amendments.
Which line on page one?
It would go from line 18 to line 30 on page one. On page two, I don't believe there are any changes from the printed bill. On page three, lines 3 to 5, these are new amendments that have not been proposed previously. Also on page three, after line 26, creation of a subsection 13, that's a new amendment. On line 27, that's renumbering the subsequent subsection to conform to the previous amendment. On line 28, that's clearing up a typographical error so that injuring is spelled correctly. On page 4, line 22, adding the word forfeiting, that's a new amendment. Same page, line 33, delete forfeiting and insert seizing, that's a new amendment. On line 41, delete forfeiting and insert seizing, that's a new amendment. On page 5, line 17, after the, insert seizing. After agency, insert a semicolon and delete the rest of the line, that's a new amendment. On line 21, delete firearms and insert weapons, that's new. On line 22, can't tell what that word is that's deleted. I guess firearms and insert weapons. Again, that's new. On page 6, line 1, delete seizing or. That's a new amendment.
Madam Chair, can I just ask, is there anything that's in the hand, engrossed version here that's not new?
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, yes.
Okay.
Yes. On line 5, the amendments are new. On line 28, the amendment is new. Line 32, the amendment is new. Also on line 34. Also on line 39. Also on line 44. On page 7, that's a previous amendment submitted by
Multnomah County.
On line 4, I believe that's new. Line 5 is new. Line 9 is new. After line 12, I think that's been previously submitted by the Attorney General's office. I don't see any other amendments on that page.
Great. That brings us to page 8.
Page 8. Line 19 is new. And 21 is new. Line 35, I think, is an ACLU amendment. To which we agreed.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Council has a question.
There's continuous amendment to beyond that.
Sorry, that brings us to page 8. We're on page 9.
There's more.
Yeah.
on lines...
Snyder, let me ask you to do something for the committee here, because this is real clerical. Council get together and just on a sheet of paper give us a list so that we can run through this when the committee is deciding on amendments, which we should be doing within an hour.
I'd be pleased to, Madam Chair.
Just so we have a list of what's new.
Sure.
Thank you. Multnomah County District Attorney's Office.
Members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Martin. I'm with the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. Our amendments are labeled 6, and Mr. Snyder has helpfully gone through the first new amendment, which changes the definition of forfeiting agency to mean the state of Oregon or political subdivision, and seizing agency, which means a law enforcement agency which has seized property for forfeiture. Up until we got together and did the hand and gross version of the bill, which you now have before you, the two terms weren't used consistently and there was no definition for seizing agency. I think the hand and gross bill reflects all of the changes that are consistent with these definitions, and it should clarify those for you. The second amendment is one that's been before the subcommittee before. It's revised to accurately reflect where it should be inserted in the bill and refers to Section 7. It provides for a pretrial hearing when there has not been a prior judicial determination of probable cause prior to seizure.
Is that number 6 you're talking about?
There are two number 6s. That's right. There's the first number 6 and the second number 6.
All right, this is the second number 6 you're now talking about.
That's correct. And unless there are questions on those two amendments, I'd like to pass on to the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office's comments on a couple of the other amendments that are before the committee.
Are there other questions for Ms. Martin before we go on to the other amendments that have been offered?
I have a question.
Representative Mamet.
On 6B, I'll call it, has any other governmental agency reviewed that? Have you had any consultation with anyone else about their reaction to that?
Madam Chair, Representative Mamet, this is one of the consensus amendments, and so it has been read by other members.
Thank you.
In fact, both amendments are consensus amendments. I should point that out. Unless there are other questions, I would like to move to, thank you, to dash 5, LC, which has gotten certainly a lot of commentary. I will point out that my office opposes the 25% standard as it's currently proposed. One of the reasons for the opposition is that the amendment as it's currently presented, taking 25% off the top, and giving the DEQ a priority on par with banks and other claimants in this matter, penalizes counties which are not troubled by meth labs, who don't have the problem. And let me point out from last year's statistics what that means. Counties in which there were no meth lab operations for the year of 1988 include Benton, Grant, Jefferson, Lincoln, Union, Wasco, and Washington counties. Those counties would be asked to bear the burden of paying for meth lab cleanup operations in counties where there certainly are more extensive operations.
Move the Multnomah County District Attorney's objection. If we were to exempt those counties, forfeiture proceeds from the 25%. I think Representative Mannix has offered in the past amendments which have resulted in bringing parties to the table. And since that seems to be the primary objection of Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, I think
that would be an appropriate resolution. Excuse me, Madam Chair, that is just one of the concerns that I have. If I could go on, even if the committee were inclined to exclude those 7 counties on something of a predictive basis, feeling that for some reason they might not have those problems in the future, I want to point out that there are 5 counties which account for a disproportionate number of the meth labs that are operating in the state. And in the past year, those include Douglas County with 10 labs, Josephine County with 11 labs, Clackamas County with 18 labs, Lane County with 34, and Multnomah County with 62 labs. Those are clearly the 5 counties that take up most of the cleanup expenses that currently exist, and they would take up such revenue in the future at the expense of the other counties in Oregon. Since we didn't have an opportunity to review this amendment prior to today, What I would suggest is that the committee permit us to present an amendment which would, instead of inserting a 25% across the board payment to DEQ in Section 9, would reflect rather a cleanup cost under Section 10 and 11, so that the cost initially is borne clearly related to the person who's created the problem. And I understand Representative Minnis's concern that in some cases the assets for the meth lab may not be sufficient to